The sermon text from 2 Corinthians. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Right, that's take a look back. I'm going to invite you again today to take a look back at the sermon hymn or the hymn of the day. If you just open that hymnal, right, or hymnal, order of service, right back up and take a look at it. That first line, we walk by faith and not by sight. We haven't heard Jesus audibly speak to us, right? But we believe him near. Isn't that what stanza one is saying? Now look at stanza two. We may not touch his hand or his side, or be able to walk and follow him along, right? Nor follow where he trod. But we rejoice in his promise and cry, my Lord and my God. So we're walking through that and look down at stanza four. The resurrected Lord is found where? In bread and wine. He's found in water, in the Word. These are the places where Jesus is found. And stanza five shows the dividing line in our life of faith. Right? It says, Lord, when our life of faith is done, we will behold you as you are with clear and endless sight. Okay, now I don't want anybody to think that we don't have faith in heaven. There is that dividing line. Either by the second coming or by death, we will see God face to face. And really, the object of our faith never changes. Whether it's here, the object of our faith is Christ. Whether it's in heaven, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. One, we do not see directly. That's here in this life. In heaven, we will see directly. We will see Jesus face to face. Heavenly sight will not end faith because faith is trust, and trust goes right on in heaven. The difference is this. Right now, here, faith has to go on without sight. In heaven, faith and vision will be one. They'll be together. Right? So today, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with the things that are not seen, like enduring, continuing on in the unseen things until they come to pass. It's like we're looking at things that are supposed to be dormant or dead and seeing them for what they really are, not for what they look like. You know, things that don't look like much at all, but in fact really are something very special. And this starts percolating when we look at our opening hymn. So I'd ask you to do that again. Just take that bulletin. I know. When I was a younger person, pastor would have asked me to look at the bulletin. I'd have been like, that's not right. I just need to listen and pay attention. But I'm going to ask you, you know, to just take a look at it and that opening hymn. Now, call it the rhyme scheme, call it the meter, call it what you will. You look at the end of those words. Okay. So you got your first stanza, let me be thine forever, right? Skip a line, forever, never, waver, forever, right? They all end in E-V-R. Then you have the O-R-D's, Lord, Word, right? Right? You see where that changes just a little bit at the end of that stanza. Steadfastness, bless. You see how that all ends together like that? That rhyme scheme in that hymn. The second stanza, they're ending in the first two lines, four lines end in Asian, like salvation, consolation. Then you skip one, the divine, thine, me, pain, obtain. You see how that ends? Those words are ending in the same types of ending, every other line like that. Spirit, merit in stanza three. Guide, confide. There again, confessing, blessing. Right? And then all of a sudden, faith, and you're baited, you're ready to go, you're ready for another eighth, and then it's death. It just drops. It's like a literary and physical stop. It just brings you
pulls you up. We've got all these things going on, and then all of a sudden, the author of this hymn just flipped it on you. And it's like it ends at death. Like, I thought that was, you know, when I'm reading through this hymn and thinking about it, reading it, and all of a sudden you notice this is what's going on. Everything rhymes all the way up to the very last word of the entire hymn, and at death. And it just stops you dead in your tracks, right? And it's dissonance. The rhyme scheme comes to a stop. But is it a stop? That's the question we're going to ask. Is death a stop for us? No, because we look to the things that are unseen. We live by faith and not by sight. And that is a theme that is running through the Lord's Day today, this Lord's Day. Ezekiel tells us about a sprig, taking a sprig off the top of a cedar, right? And that's what one of the kings called himself, the cedar, right? But he was a wicked king. So Ezekiel's like, yeah, God will take a sprig off the top of the cedar. That's why you get all that tree, I'll make the tree, I water it, I make green tree dry. You know, God is saying, look, buddy, you're not in charge, I'm in charge. But the imagery, take this sprig off the top, breaking off a bit of a branch. You don't think, usually you break off a branch and somebody just throws it on the ground and it dies. But God's not saying that. He said, ooh, no, I'm going to break this off, I'm going to plant it, I'm going to tend it, and it's going to live, and the Lord will plant it, and it will become noble, and this is the kingdom of grace, this is the kingdom of God. It appears to lack any power and authority. It is simply built on words, and people might look at it and say, anybody can do that. You can say anything you want, but it's got to bear itself out. It's an empty, shallow husk of a kingdom. Crush it, and all you will see is dust. But that is not true. It is not so. This sprig, this tender shoot of the line of David, is planted and tended by the Lord himself. This heavenly kingdom, so weak by earthly standards, is growing, and it shall grow into a tree to cover all nations. Right? What is that kingdom growing into? The kingdom of grace? That's God's church on earth. Right? Spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is that tender sprig of the house of David, because the cedar was the house of David. So Jesus is that tender sprig that the Lord nourishes and causes to grow. The Messiah shall rise from a lowly origin as a branch from the tree of David. The tree of David that is all but extinguished, perished, dead, the family of the king. The Messiah will rise to rule his kingdom. He will rule his kingdom, his church, under his stable and loving care. And this kingdom will extend throughout the entire world as it gathers into it every people from every race and nation and clan and tribe brought in under its gracious rule. This foreshadows the gospel reading where Jesus looks backwards towards Ezekiel's prophecy. And looking backwards towards Ezekiel's prophecy, of course, Jesus grabs imagery that people are very familiar with. And it's an analogy which his hearers would readily grasp hold of. Jesus describes the kingdom of God and says, look, it looks so tiny. It looks so small. It's the smallest seed in the garden, right? It looks like that which is ineffectual and ineffective, and yet great nourishment lies within it. Here is a small seed, but birds of every kind will nest in its branches. What is this imagery, this analogy, other than the kingdom of God itself, the kingdom of grace, the church? Again, Jesus says, people of every nation, tribe, race, language, clan will fall under the kingdom of grace. Now that opening hymn ends with death. And in the readings, right, we see the seed is scattered. The hymn of the day ends with a pointing at death. It's a picture of death and a picture of life. Just as Jesus says in John chapter 12, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Again, with this paradox, this thing that looks dead actually brings much life with it. Consider our funeral readings that we often read from St. Paul. But some may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not sow the plant, the body that will be, but just a seed. And St. Paul writes, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And this walks us right into the epistle reading for today. And what is the epistle reading saying? We're traveling. You're traveling. You're walking. Right? You're walking. And where are you going to walk? That's kind of important because that kicks us back to Psalm number 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the path of the wicked or sit in the seat of mockers, right? Or abide in the counsel of the deceivers, right? So where are we going to walk at? Which path are we going to walk in? Not so the righteous, whatever the righteous does, prospers because the righteous walks, endures, right? That's an enduring word. These words are enduring words. These are traveling words, continuing words. The righteous endures in the path of God, right? So we're walking by faith now, and St. Paul is saying, what do we have as we walk? We have a tent house. That's what we have as we walk. We have a tent house. The tent house is this life. Not necessarily our bodies, per se, but this entire life, this mortal existence, and all that we experience here. But what we don't see and do trust is that we also have a house from God, a permanent, a glorious, a blessed existence in the heavenly realms. So let one form of our existence, our tenting here, come to an end, be folded up, put away like a tent. Let that happen, Paul says. We have another existence prepared for us. We're planting it all together, he's saying. There's a seed, what is now. And then there's the entire plant, what will be. A tent now, a house to come. Currently temporary, permanent later. Temporary now, permanent later. It's no secret we groan in this life. Everybody here knows that. And that's a fair enough statement. Everybody knows this life is full of trial and tribulation and troubles and heartbreakings and all kinds of things, right? And we do long while we're here to enter our blessed existence. We don't hurry it along. What do? We bear our crosses as our crosses are given to us to bear. And we wait for the life to come. We long for glory. Our heavenly existence, which we will put on either at death or at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This glory envelops our souls. As St. Paul says, it swallows up the mortal life and brings us what is immortal. Okay, so the realities of what this is, it really can't be put into human language because no human has experienced yet and nobody's seen it yet, but it is to come. So what we know is that there's glory, there's bliss, there's joy everlasting, which also means if you flip that coin over, what is there not? There is no tears, there is no sorrow, there is no sadness, there is no crying, there is no pain. All of the negatives are done away with. All of the negatives of our tenting here in this life have passed away. Now, it's not easy to put divine things into earthly language. So St. Paul basically tells us our one existence, our tent existence, is taken down, folded up, and put away like a tent. And the new heavenly existence will be opened up to us, either like as a building, he might say, or putting on the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to remember that in the trials and the tribulations of this life. That's why it's important for us to be in the divine service and worship each and every week. Because what is right smack dab in front of your nose every single day of your life? The tenting, the trial, the tribulation. And it's easy to get overwhelmed by the trial, the tribulation, the things of this life. Right? And so we come here and we're reminded each and every week of the life that is to come, of the building that we have from God, the glory that is to be yours when Jesus Christ comes in all His glory, or when you are called from this life into the greater life that is to come, right? We feel our trials, we feel our tribulations, we feel our temptations, we feel our sins. Do we feel our glory? Not so much. But we need to be reminded that our glory is there. It's inside of us. It's waiting to be revealed because you are baptized children of the true and living God. You are confessors of Jesus Christ. And like a farmer, we understand that there's a whole lot more to the seed that has been implanted than we see with our mortal eyes. So take Paul and his compatriots. They had trials. They had tribulations. Paul had to have another job while he was working as an apostle. He was a tent maker. They suffered riots. They suffered beatings. They suffered imprisonments. Death was hanging over their heads constantly, all of the time. And in the middle of this, what was their comfort? The things not seen. The eternal weight of glory that they were waiting for, right? Their everlasting home in heaven. So should death strike them down, St. Paul says. Should death strike me down? That's okay. I have another home in heaven. I'm going to my permanent home. And the same is true for us. We have a trust. We have a confidence. We call confidence faith. That's what it is. You have faith that you have a home in heaven, a permanent building, not like this tent that we have now. You have hope in the life to come. So what are we saying today? What we see isn't all that there is. So I want you to remember that. I want me to remember that as we live out our Christian life together in the here and the now and these days as you travel towards your eternal life. This life isn't all that there is. There is a next life to come. For the believer, it is glory. For the unbeliever, it is condemnation. For the believer, it is joy. For the unbeliever, it is sorrow. For the believer, it is the loosening of the bonds of pain. For the unbeliever, it is bearing the bonds of pain for all of eternity. But there is a next life that is to come. You and I, we look forward to that life that is to come. As you pray, as we as a congregation pray, it is important that we thank the Holy Spirit for inspiring St. Paul to remind us to look and to see the plant that resides inside of the seed, the house instead of the tent, the life in place of the death, so that in Holy Spirit created faith, each and every one of us look forward to our true home, the home that will be revealed when our Lord comes in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and your minds, the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.